good evening. Thank you and welcome back, everyone, after a holiday break, and Happy New Year to you all. I would like to, at this time, call the meeting to order and ask that Edie, if you would take a roll call, please.
Councilperson Herring.
Here.
Cutabat.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
Well, tonight we're pleased to welcome members of Troop 38 from Boy Scouts. Mr. Hughes is the troop leader, or one of them, this evening. And I'm glad that you guys are here. Would you mind introducing either the young gentleman or gentleman who will be leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
Griffin Thompson from Troop 38 will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Griffin.
If you would come forward, please, and we'll follow your lead.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you very much. I talk about being prepared, right?
Yeah.
We can put you on the hot seat there right about 2 minutes before we started the meeting, and I appreciate your willingness to do that. So I always enjoy having the Boy Scouts here, and as I shared, always offer the opportunity for them to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. It's an honor. Well, we are moving right into the meeting here, and the first part is our comments from citizens, and this time is set aside for citizens to speak to City Council on any issue excepting a quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We'd ask that you limit your time to 5 minutes. We'd also appreciate your name and address for the record. I do have one individual signed up, and that's Mr. Steima.
My name is John Steima, 16557 156th Street, Southeast Monroe, Washington, 98272. It's definitely different sitting down, standing down. Took a year off, gave you guys a break anyway. But first of all, I wanted to say thank you for your service on the council. And I know you guys don't always get that, but I'm excited about the debt where it's at and bringing that down and actually having reserve funds. And that's always a good thing, and I trust that hopefully you'll be able to get across the line of the Walmart thing here pretty soon. So, but the other reason I came here tonight was to let you know that I am the president of the Monroe Gospel Women's Mission, and we have an auction that's coming up on the 8th of March. What the mission does is it takes, last year we took over 100 women off the street and gave them a place to live, a place that they could have a case plan. And we're right here on 450 South Lewis Street, and it is something many people don't even know about that is in our community. Again, we have an auction coming up on March the 8th. One thing we're doing different this year is that we'd like to have different people who could come up with some baskets, and then we're going to have Polly from Monitor judge those. And anyway, so that way we can auction those off, and people can, if they'd like to find out some more information, can call me or the mission, and can have some things on that. So I'd like to again thank you for that, and trust you all have a good new year. And I'm done in a minute and 15 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, John. Councilmember Salmon. Okay, well, that's all that I have signed up this evening to speak to council. But as always, I would like to open up to members of the audience to have an opportunity to speak to council if you like. And very simple. We just have you come to the podium, provide us with your name and address, and limit your time to 5 minutes if you would.
My name is Rick Hansen, and my address is 16223 Westwick Road, Snohomish. And I'm a builder in build houses in town here, and I hear Rick is proposing a basic program for you guys to look at it, apparently. And I just wanted to say that I think that would be a wise thing to do. It's a kind of a fair thing to do, because looking at the same plans over and over through plan review. It's just, really, there's not a lot, there's nothing for them to look at. If we do, and I build a lot of the same houses over and over and over. And so I think you guys looking at that is a good thing, and I think it's fair. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience like to address council this evening?
I signed up to speak. I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I signed up to speak.
You did? I don't have it, but please join us. We must have left it out there. Sorry.
My name's Rosie Tatel, and my address is 149-69 174th Avenue, Monroe. I'm going to read what I have because otherwise I'm going to... In the past few weeks, I've had at least five people come up to me and say, I'm glad you weren't the one killed on the bike. But each time my heart sank. Little did they know, earlier in the year, when the abates was going on the fairgrounds, I had to call 911 because I was nearly hit because of conditions on Highway 2. Now, when we bought our house, we knew about the bike paths and that encouraged us to buy. But now with the flyover and the intersection, how it's changed there, I could be bleeped with what I think that area is. And anyone going, the area I'm talking about is going from 179 to, let's say, the Flylands area on Highway 2. Now that the medical office is coming in, there's going to be more people who live in the Flylands who are going there. I've noticed a few scooters or wheelchairs that use that area. And if you get both of them at the same time, you're going to have an accident waiting to happen. When the state improved the flyover, they thought to do sidewalk from Cascade View Drive to the old ramp. That served just the people going from the fairgrounds and two. With the town not improving the stretch parallel to the fairgrounds, they're saying that they don't care as much and that there was a need because otherwise the state wouldn't have done that with the sidewalk. Now you wonder what sidewalk is different than a shoulder. Well, during the abates, I saw motorcycles going on the shoulder. Another time, I saw a car park there. Because of the proximity to the hospital, sometimes the ambulances use that area. One time it was so bad, instead of using that, the ambulance went against traffic in the opposite lane to get there. And then they're standing at the, you're at the old ramp, you're at the flyover under it. Now they have the barriers there. So if a car was coming at me, I couldn't even get out of the way waiting for the traffic light because of that. I was wondering somehow if there was some kind of barrier that would be more prone to protecting the public if a car did go that way. Now bikes, and then please don't pass the buck. It's a problem that it has to be all the agencies working together, not one. The thing that freaked me out the most was today when I was going along Highway 2. I noticed a sign to drive safely, but this one thing, it was on the shoulder. So for a bicycle to get around it, they had to go into the traffic or into the blackberry bushes. Now even putting a sign, people don't realize how they're impacting people on a bike. And this has to come to some agreement before someone gets killed. And I don't want to be the one. And please don't pass the buck. I have an article that has an idea. I understand parallel to the fairgrounds is wetlands or something with fish. But there is some kind of bridge that could be built, maybe that. I could talk my husband into. There were bonds that when my late husband and I got married that have never been cashed. I've never had a reason to want to touch them. There's at least worth $3,000 to $5,000, and if somehow someone can come up with an idea, I might be able to talk my husband even to go into $10,000. And I don't make whatever. I can show that money in a minute, and I can show you bank accounts that I have it. And the reason why he's not here, because if he heard me talk, I don't know how much I'd be biking anymore, but I am not relying on him to get me every place. I don't drive. There's some other people in that area that I see, maybe because of medical conditions, that use scooters. I'm not the only one. If I hit into a wheelchair going one way and they're going the other way, you're waiting for an accident. Please act. I'm going to give you this, and I'm also going to give her a copy out of my backpack of the other thing I was talking about. And I have my phone number. If someone has ideas, please call. And I don't want to die the way my first husband did on the bicycle or that lady a few accident weeks ago.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience would like to address council at this time? Okay. Well, do you think those who took time out this evening to come in?
Well, hopefully you guys come up with an idea and that'll really be a thanks. And that would also get some people, I'm going to say one more thing, would maybe use the area for more recreation. We even had tourists come by and look at our flowers. We thought that she was a local, though she wasn't. So people who bike around from that area might even go into our businesses. If you can make that from, you know, like Prylance Boulevard, whatever, a loop or thing.
Okay. Moving on here, I do want to point out something. If you have noticed, if the colors of the council chambers have been changed to reflect the colors of the city website and our hallway. So staff did that over the holiday, and thanks to them for doing a great job.
It's true.
Yeah, it's good.
Right
here. to go along with the personality over there.
That's right.
Okay, we're moving on to business actions, and first is the consent agenda. Councilmember Campbell.
I'd like to pull 2A.
2A bills. All right, 2A is pulled. Councilmember Cutterback.
I'd like to pull 4.
4, yes. All right, let's start with item, or start with a motion to approve items 1, 2,
135.
Yes,
135. So move. Second.
All right, motion is made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember Williams. Approve items 1, 3, and 5. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we can go to 4, and then we'll come back to item 2. Councilmember Cutterback?
Oh, thank you. I just. Because we've looked at this a couple times, and then we came up with a policy that allowed property to be there till June, and then we had our insurance give us feedback. But I know we contacted people and let them know it was till June, so I'm just pulling this. How are we getting this word out? Have all the issues been cleared? Where are we at with that?
As I understand it, all the issues that were existing have been taken care of, so we don't have anything currently on the books.
Okay. So we're just starting kind of from scratch, and this is the policy. Okay. Thank you.
Motion to approve, Councilmember
Yes.
Cutterback?
Thank you.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Cutterback, seconded by Councilmember Gearing. Item number 4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And out of an abundance of caution, Councilmember Gamble will be recusing himself from the vote on council payable and payroll bills. Let the record show that Councilmember Gamble has left the chambers. I do have a motion to approve item number 2.
So.
Second.
And a motion to be made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Cutterback, to approve consent agenda item number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Councilmember Gary? Yep, thank you. All right. First item this evening under new business, or the only item here this evening under new business, is a proposal. Chief Quinn's here. Is here to speak today about a Municipal Court.
Well, first of all, I'd like to start out by saying we've had several comments from citizens through the last several years asking us if we had ever looked at municipal courts in the city of Monroe. And their feeling was that it would be advantageous to the city to have their own municipal court. So approximately 6 months ago, I asked Director Willis and Sherry Simonson to look at this and and drop a feasibility proposal on this particular issue. And I want to apologize for kind of a rush here on it. I didn't realize till just recently that there's timelines that we have to meet. And we're within those timelines, but I'll go into that a little further as far as describing what's going on. The scope of our project, we were going to look at several factors. And hopefully you all have a copy of this, but we were going to look at, of course, the timeline, facilities, potential costs of setup and ongoing costs, budget impacts, staffing, service levels, and then, of course, we have a recommendation. Under the timeline, the effective date of this, if you so choose to go ahead with it, the termination date for the city of Monroe's current interlocal agreement would occur on December 31st, 2014. We must give notice to the county council by February 1st of 2013. The effective date, of course, for the municipal court to start would be January 1st, 2015. Under facilities, we looked at, of course, we have to start out with the courtroom. Do we have a place that we could utilize as a courtroom? And with the photo enforcement court, we have found the council chambers to work well for us. Even the judge has commented that it's a good area for the court. How it's set up and the like. The only difference that we would have, instead of two court dates a month, we would have two per week. We would have to look at a jury room. We've looked at, we would like to use the large conference room at City Hall as a jury room. We think that would work out. Court staff space, we could either use the former public utilities building next door to the and or we could utilize some workstations, hopefully in City Hall campus. Parking, it would be twice a week. The court parking for court would not be nearly the impact that it is currently. Right now we have for the photo enforcement court, we have two days a month. So the courts are pretty well crowded with, if you driven into the parking lot on those days, hopefully for just to visit, not to attend our court, you'll notice that there are no parking places. And we've had to ask city employees if they would park to the back behind the barriers, back in the area where Public Works and the police department parks. And that's something we would have to ask the city employees to do twice a week. And we feel that if that occurred, then we'd have plenty of parking. Nor do we expect also the court calendar to be as crowded as it currently is, with only 2 days a month. Then we looked at the potential costs. There's a one-time setup cost, and then there's the ongoing estimates. You have copies of the what we feel currently is the ongoing estimate that we would have to cover every year. And we're looking at also the equipment that we need. We feel that we have the current courtroom setting that we have for the photo enforcement court covers all our equipment. Seatings here, recording equipment, computers, video equipment are currently in place. So the majority of our ongoing costs would be staff costs. We would have to, city would have to hire a part-time judge. The judge would be an appointed position as only a full-time judge would be an elected position. We would have to hire a court administrator. That court administrator would be a full-time position. It would be an exempt position, would report to the judge. And the Traffic Violations Bureau that we currently handle, we continue to process payments with our existing police staff. We would also have to have a security position for the court bailiff, if you would have that. And I believe we were talking about a police department employee that would come over and would also assist the court administrator. And under budget impacts and staffing, you can see the costs that we expect that would cost us annually. And we feel that it costs us $166,000. Those numbers could change slightly by 2015. And I'll be first to say we don't know exactly to the cent the exact cost that it costs us, but I think this is a very good representation from the surveys we've done from cities that have municipal courts. How it benefit the city was currently every infraction that we write is we have to pay $36.79 for. It's called a filing fee. And if it's a criminal or if it's a misdemeanor, we have to pay $106.62. These costs, if we had a municipal court, would not have to pay these. Right now, currently in our budget, our court filing fees are listed at $170,000. So that would be a savings, considerable savings for the city right there. In addition, the city would receive approximately additional monthly revenue of $2,500 for court monitored probation and infractions on deferred findings. Currently, the city of Monroe, we feel the current court severely underutilizes the electronic home detention program that we have currently set up. If this program was used, we could eliminate unnecessary jail costs. And the individuals that utilize this program currently pay for it themselves. They're charged a daily monitoring rate, and they're also charged a setup fee at the beginning, which I believe our jail costs are $66 a day, something like
92.70 for booking.
Yes, 92 for the booking, and then
64
for daily costs. And if we can save some of that through electronic home detention, it would certainly benefit us. And it would also, I believe, benefit the individuals that choose to select that. One other thing that we have, currently the review for the indigent defendants does not require the individual to provide any type of documentation verifying their need for a public defender. In other words, if you go in and you ask for a public defender, you get one, whether it's Bill Gates or someone like myself who could afford an attorney. So we would... I think we would benefit in lowering our costs for a public defender if we were able to monitor that much closer. Under logistics, we have to notify the Office of Administration of Courts in Olympia of the city's interest in forming a municipal court. We need to do that by the mayor sending a letter to them. We would have to do that again as soon as possible. Under service levels, the city of Monroe, of course, we pride ourselves in our quality customer service, and we always have. We feel that the city can better manage the expenses associated and potentially see revenue, all of which increases the efficiency with tax payer resources. Give me an example. Due to budget constraints by Snohomish County, the court currently does not answer any incoming telephone calls. If you want inquiries through the court, you either have to do it in writing or you have to appear in person. We believe that being available by all means of communications is part of a good quality service, and we would provide that. Lastly, it's my recommendation that we move forward with the creation of the City of Monroe Municipal Court. This would be the first reading of bringing this forward. We'd ask at the moment that there be a motion to authorize the mayor to sign a letter of intent to terminate the current agreement with Snohomish County Evergreen Division Court. Questions?
Ladies first, Councilmember Tedeby.
Thank you. Chief, just a couple questions. We have to give our notice of intent to terminate by February 1 this year.
Correct.
If for some reason a hitch comes in the plan or something, you know, causes us not to move in this direction, do we have the option of getting a new contract with the county?
Probably up to the county.
Okay, I'm just curious. I don't know. Okay.
If I knew that was a certainty, I would say yes.
Okay. My next question just had to do with the facilities, because we've heard a couple times how, you know, City Hall is pretty full or we're short on space, so there's been no issues or no one's brought up that using the big conference room for jury would put a cramp on increased permitting or meetings or anything of that nature.
Majority of time that room isn't utilized.
Okay.
Listen, you can tell me if
it's
I'm
pretty open.
It needs access at all times because that's where all the permit documents are kept. And so if someone comes in and asks about their permit, if there's a trial going on, then we have to send them away.
We could move the jury room to where you were just having your meeting.
Don't take these questions they're just trying to make sure I understand all the pieces, because I noticed that room has stuff in it.
Okay.
Used to be used, so that's a question I had. And then to go to the possible revenue stream, you know, it sounds like what we save in the filing fees or the infraction filing fees, you know, we direct towards hiring staff, and it seems like that's a wash. Staff costs increase every year, and there are some benefited positions which increase. So do you see the infraction costs increasing to keep up with the cost of staff increases year over year?
What I see is the savings, because the filing fees are increasing faster than our employee costs.
Right, and that was my question, is what's the increase in these filing fees?
They have a cost of living, a formula that they utilize, and every year it's gone up, including the year that the cost of living went down. I don't know how that
Yeah, so it still goes up.
There's a negative.
So it sounds like the savings we'd get from the filing fees would keep up with the cost of increase of, or outpace actually the cost of
I believe so,
staff.
Yes.
Okay. And so there was an estimate of about $2,500 a month in revenue, which is about $30 a year, an estimate, correct?
That's for probation monitoring.
Right.
Like, yes.
So, I mean, it seems like that there's quite a bit of work with this, and that's just my sense. So I'm looking at a cost-benefit kind of analysis, and, you know, is it worth the revenue we get for it to take on the burden of the service, the incoming calls, all the things that might be necessary to run this?
I believe so.
You believe so. Okay. And my last question was just about the customer service, because so would it be the city, the court administrator position,
the
who
court,
would handle all that?
The court administrator position, and also the position of the police department put towards.
Okay, so some police staff time might be use to kind of monitor those calls or take those calls?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thanks.
Councilmember Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple questions and then a comment. One of the questions goes along with the filing fees. Do we have any control over setting those, or are those given to us if we move forward with this?
They are. If we move forward with this, we won't be paying filing fees. Yes.
Do we have the ability to charge for any of is there any, oh, that's a fee that we pay just
yes.
to utilize
yes.
the court?
Exactly. Yes, okay. yes. For them to process the notice of infraction.
Okay, and you said those fees are going up higher than wages, or that's been
the have
trend?
Been. Yes. They have a formula that each year we're notified of the cost.
Okay. And what does this do to the current Snohomish County District Court? Will that have any impact on them at all? Will that still continue to run if we move forward with this?
I don't. I am sure it will.
Okay.
I don't know in what manner.
Okay. And then my comment is over just the, the campus here already has a very real, in my opinion, lack of security. Are there any concerns with adding, court here? And while court's in session, I understand that there's an officer, but it just seems like the potential for some type of a security issue here escalates as you have more people coming through this facility. Has there been any talk about doing anything to kind of help improve the security?
We would have security here, of course, when court is in session. Otherwise, if people are, say, paying or the like, they would be doing that at the police department, just like they do right now. The Traffic Violations Bureau would be handling that.
Okay, so there'd be no changes that you foresee as far as tightening up the security of this campus? Okay, that's all I have.
Councilmember Gensler?
Just a clarification. The court clerk with benefits, it says currently in the city's general fund. So that's not the city clerk position. That's
no, that has no connection there.
Thank you. Looking for a motion this evening, or you're bringing this back next week? You said it's kind of a first.
Right. I'd like to bring it back to a consent agenda next week.
Okay.
There's a motion.
So I see the motion recommended here. I don't think anybody made it. So I didn't know if we were looking for that tonight. We wanted to introduce it tonight, and then bring it back next week is what I think.
I'd like to bring it back the consent agenda next week unless... We're probably looking for a motion tonight.
For first reading.
First
reading.
Yes.
Okay. I see. Okay. Well, then I will do that. I'll move to authorize the mayor, as a first reading, authorize the mayor to sign a letter of intent to terminate the current agreement with Snohomish County Evergreen District Court.
Second. Motion to authorize the mayor as a first reading sign a letter of intent to terminate the current agreement with Snohomish County Evergreen Division. And so moved. May I have a Councilmember Gary and seconded by Councilmember Williams. Councilmember Kedavat.
Thank you. Chief, I'm not going to vote for it tonight. Just I would have liked, some of my, and it doesn't mean I won't vote for it next week. I might call you and see if I can get some of my questions, a couple questions that I have answered. So, thanks.
So, first reading.
Yeah. But I think
it's separate.
Yeah. I guess my only question or my only recommendation or request would be that if you do have separate questions or that you have for Chief, that next week's meeting, you understand what those questions were, and because
sure.
It might be that getting another council member thought of them
sure.
this week as well. So.
Yeah, I can ask him at the meeting next week and pull it from consent agenda and get him answered then, whichever you prefer, if you want to do it in public.
Why don't we just place it on the agenda for next week? So we can
I just want to. One of the questions really is about the making sure we have a good jury room and that we do have the space. It sounds like you're not. I mean, don't have that quite worked out. And then I would like to know about the contract if we do the intent to terminate and then some hitch comes up where we're not able, we don't think we can follow through, do we have an option of renewing that contract before it expires? So that's another question I have.
All right. No, I'll ask you a few questions because and I'll give us a week here to get those answered. Thank you. Seeing no other lights, hearing any other comments, take a vote on the motion then. All those in favor of the first reading, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And the record reflects Councilmember Petovac in opposition. Motion passed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, well, next item up on the agenda this evening is a resolution for a proposed painting project at Monroe High School, and that was brought to us by our student representative, Mr. Morano, who is here this evening. We forgot to mention that in roll call. We're going to show that Mr. Morano is here. And I'm going to turn to you and ask if you have any questions or anything with regards, and I'm looking at you, Mr. Morano, or any comments with regards to the resolution?
I pretty much would just like to get it as soon as possible, or get everything taken care of as soon as possible so I can bring it to the school board. I actually just, I believe yesterday, got called down to talk to the principal about it because I guess it's already being spread around with the superintendent of the school district, and it's from what I've heard or from what I understand, it's going to be a battle when I bring it to the school board. So, but your guys' word will definitely help. So, thanks.
All right. Well, the resolution tonight, and I will read the resolution. Yeah, my glasses. I'll ask City Administrator Razzle to read the resolution. On your point, I just want to make note that while at the chamber luncheon today, I met with one of the board members, and the question arose as to the purpose for this resolution, and I shared that that the City Council was taking or considering a resolution tonight as a way of providing for support for our student representative. We understand that we have no controlling or ability to control the school board. It is not intended in that way, and it's not intended as a strong arm or the city. It really is responding to the City Council's student representative and to the input that he has received from his classmates and others up at the high school. So in support of the his attempts and the student body's attempts to see this come to fruition. This is more of a statement saying that we're standing in support of his efforts. So I want to make that clear because that's the impression that I got was that the council was taking action on a matter that's not a matter that we can, and that's not the intended purpose here. So we support you, the actions and activities that you're doing, and appreciate that. So with that said, we'll have City Administrator Brazzle read the resolution and we do have a light.
Excellent. Thank you, Mayor. Resolution 2013-001, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, supporting City of Monroe student representative proposed project to repaint Monroe High School's interior walls.
Okay, it's read the resolution title. Said Councilmember Federer.
Thank you. I wanted to thank you for your comments. I echo them, so I'm glad you clarified that for the community, so thank you. And I will make a motion to approve.
Okay, a motion to approve resolution 2013-001.
Correct.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Petovac, seconded by Councilmember Hanford. Any other comments? All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Brent, good luck. We're with you. And I've got some rollers. I'll go out there and help. It'll be fun. All right, final action tonight, first of which is a resolution authorizing, second of which is a resolution authorizing the cooperative purchasing agreement with the cooperative purchasing network. That's a lot to say, Diane. That's why you're going to read that one, yeah. Diane?
The city makes a lot of purchases through Lowe's for our operations and field work. And Lowe's contracts with the TCPN purchasing co-op network. And so if we join it, we are able to take advantage of some additional discounts further than what Lowe's gives us. And due to state statutes and technicalities, we need council's permission in order to join this co-op. And it's basically a housekeeping item. The city has no liability in that whatever we buy, we have to pay for.
That's it. Councilmember Geary.
I'd like to move to adopt resolution 2013/002, resolution of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, authorizing a cooperative purchasing agreement with the cooperative purchasing network.
Second.
Motion to made by Councilmember Geary and seconded by Councilmember Petovac to adopt resolution 2013-002. And with that, I'll have the City Administrator read the official resolution title.
Resolution 2013-002, resolution of the City Council of the City of Monroe, Washington, authorizing the city's execution of a cooperative purchasing agreement with the Cooperative Purchasing Network.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, seeing no lights, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Moving steadily along. We will, is it 8 yet? No. We're going to recess early and reconvene now in study session. And we do have a topic, a couple of them. One presentation, really, and that is. Is it Paul?
No, it's Mr. Carlos.
Rick?
Yes.
Sorry. Hold on here. There he is. Welcome. You're invited to come up to the front if you like. And do we have a slideshow?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Gerber,
yep, rearrangements. And just real quick, for those of you who don't know, this is our deputy code official for building, and Mr. Rick Carnes.
Thank you. And you're for executive meeting. Did we lose one? Or?
No, he's here.
Sorry, MPC. Council, thank you for having me, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Administrator. What I'm here for today is just to give you an idea of what a basic program is, why we feel it's necessary for our contractors, and it's good for the city. Basic plan process. This is what it's all about. Let's see if I can work this here. There we go. Why? The reason for this is to help the contractors monetarily and timelines. One of the worst things you can do to a contractor is mess up his timeline. Trying to get subcontractors together and keep things on schedule is very tough for contractors. So it would help expedite, it would help them monetarily, and it's just the right thing to do, as Rick Hansen stated, that it's proper reasons. I have a few more slides though. I can handle this. This plan is contingent on the house plan being built at least one time. Subsequent plans would be considered under this basic program. It can only be built in the same plat. It's not like you can have this plan and build it throughout the city in different plats. It's got to be built in the same plat. I know we do have design criteria in our PRDs, but we don't have design criteria in short plats, infills, and things like that. which drives the look of the house and, you know, boards and baths or other cosmetic criteria. So that's why we try to keep it to a one plat location only. These are some of the options that we would like to see for a basic plan. You're allowed to flip a house, which would mean garage right, garage left, a hip to a gable roof, anything that would be basically cosmetic. Different locations for fireplaces has nothing to do with the structural analysis of a home. So those types of things would be okay. What we do ask the contractors to do, though, is when they come in for their first plan, is to show all locations. So we can verify that a vent doesn't come up out underneath a bedroom window or something like that. We want to see all options up front. We charge them one time for all options, and then we discount from there on. Things that don't fall under that basic process would be an increased footprint, any structural changes. If they decide that they want to do some kind of a valley-hipped roof, there would be additional point loads, which would mean additional footings, which would mean a new plan as far as we're concerned. You guys can carry away with this. Oh, we just want to add a little bay window or a possible third bedroom. Well, that's additional square footage. Then we have to stop and re-review that plan. And therefore, additional staff time, additional fees would be needed. This is an example of how the fees would work. The example on the left there is a standard $200,000 home, $198,000, $200,000 home. This is how the fees break down. The numbers to the right there would be a basic plan. We would charge a $200 fee for just administrative work. And as you can see, all the fees are still accounted for. And it's an approximate $1,000 savings per unit to the contractor. Which, yes, it is a hit on the city, but it's fair to the contractor. I think it's non-gouging, shall we say. And, you know, on the bigger plats, yeah, you could be talking $60,000, $70,000 on these plats that come in with 150 lots or something. But on the smaller infills and stuff like that, let's say you got four lots, you want to do one plan with four elevations, it's going to save them $4,000 or $5,000. And that's a lot of money to a contractor. They work on a 3-5% profit. It's not the 20% profits they used to take yet. So we feel it's a good program. It's helping the contractors, and it's good for the society. And that's basically it. It's a simple program. Most of the jurisdictions around us have one. I've worked in Marysville and Lake Stevens. They had them there, and they were used extensively. Quadrant Home used them. Some of the bigger people used them. They would turn in 20, 30 plans at a time and just say, we want to make basics out of all these, and they had basically their plat permitted to move forward at their own rate. So that's all I had. Was there any questions? Or
a benefit that you didn't mention, I think that we talked about, I can't remember who it was, is that the faster, or I guess the faster that the home is built, the sooner that the home can be occupied, mm-hmm. which means that we have a living body now as part of the community who is potentially working here, certainly hopefully eating here,
sure.
and playing here. So this helps in that. And Ian, I can't remember who was it, Brad or it was you that was sharing, or maybe with Paul, you know, that the potential savings for a contractor here is great, but the benefit to the city, it goes along with what we've been trying to accomplish over the last couple of years, and that is that this becomes a much more workable environment, and workable meaning that it creates an efficiency in the process that developers can count on now, and it makes the city of Monroe a more desirable place to build. So.
Yeah, one of the biggest points on this is turnaround time. We can get this done in a week. You know, right now we try to push for 2 weeks for most of the mid-sized projects, and we're doing pretty good with that timeline. But we can have this turned around in a week. Because basically the only thing that would need to be reviewed then, other than administrative paperwork, would be the site plan to verify they're meeting their setbacks, which would be different with every lot. But the home is, you know, a flop or a flip or whatever you want to call that, and maybe a couple other fireplaces or cosmetic features.
The only other hiccup in a review might be, like I say, in a PRD where they have cosmetic features like entryways on every third lot or something like that where you have to really keep track. But other than that, this would be a quick turnaround, which contractors would prefer. Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Gearing.
No, thank you. I think this is actually sounds really great. I think, and to the point that you just made, even if there is an every third type of thing, that's part of what you guys do anyway.
Right.
Look at that. So, I mean, that's not like that's anything new.
No.
Or extra additional work. To me, this seems like a win. A win both ways. And certainly, as you were talking about, Mayor, is meeting those goals for the direction that we're trying to move. Just looking at recommended action, doesn't look like any kind of a motion is necessary, but I am certainly in support if there's a motion needed to direct staff or if we're just a consensus of support.
The motion for council to support the direction.
It's study session.
No, it's a study session. We can't make a motion.
Well, I appreciate the support, Councilman. Thank you.
We can have consensus, though. So. Anyway, I will, since we're already in a study session, I'll just say that I would prefer to move forward with this. Thank you. Yeah, that's staff move forward with it. It's not for us to move forward with it.
Yeah, the fees were approved with the fee resolution first of the year. It is in there for the basic program at a $200 administrative fee.
Good stuff. Thank you.
City Council may add or take action on any other items on the list of the agenda.
Well, I mean, actually, if you look at the recommendation, it basically says we're doing this.
We're doing this unless you do it.
Voice on the intent. We really are council support.
Voicing my support.
Yeah. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, this sounds fantastic. I'm very excited about it. The question I have is probably not, I'm assuming probably it's a question for Diane, but looking at the budget we just passed, how will this play out? And, you know, to cut costs sounds great. How's it going to affect us?
Well, it just means it's kind of a double-edged sword. Right now, with the recession, our building revenues were very low. So now they're starting to build up more. So the idea is that, yeah, maybe we'll get $1,000 less on some permit fees, but it will promote a larger volume of permit fees. So
sure.
I don't think it'll have that much of an impact as far as negative.
Just to add on that, we didn't include any of the large plats proposed for building permit revenues this year.
That's right.
Because basically they're going to build the plat in 2013 and build houses in 2014. Mm-hmm. So, and then also in the future, it will depend on how many different kinds of models they have in the upcoming plats.
Yeah, the bigger plats are the PPPs, and that's all looked at up front. So usually the bigger plats, they're required to have more of a diverse look, which would require more models, which would hold the basic numbers down. It's the smaller plats that really, really excel at this, that prefer this, right? Like Rick Manson, he'll have four or five models in a 10-lot plat. So he'll save $5,000 to $10,000, which he can then pass on to his buyers.
Yeah, well, like I said, sounds great. Excited for the builders as well.
Thank you.
Councilmember Williams.
I think this is a great first step in lowering the fees, and so I'm very happy that we're doing this, and I want to reiterate first step because I still think the other fees are way too high. I think it's a great move that the city's doing to basically, again, send the message out that we want to work with developers and that we want to be a place that they want to build. I spoke to a builder that builds about 15 or 20 houses a year over the Christmas break, and you know, just when I found out that's what he did, I started talking to him about some of the stuff that we're doing here. And interesting to hear him say that they do almost everything they can to stay away from Snohomish County now.
Yeah, right.
And they're actually getting better service from cities than they, you know, and it used to be the other way around. And so it's great to see cities actually starting to take the leadership role in realizing that there is a deficiency in their service and their fee structure and acknowledging that they need the developers, where before they kind of acted like those guys didn't really matter and they were just a nuisance. So I think this is great for Monroe, and I applaud whoever thought of it or the group that thought of it to bring it here. I think we need to do it.
Yeah, the climate of the building industry is really changing. You know, they're customers now. We are a regulatory agency, but we need to learn how to do it better. And that's my philosophy.
And then so the applaud goes to Rick.
Thank you.
Councilmember Kevin.
Thank you. I wanted to say I support it too. For me, as we talked earlier, it's a matter of fairness. If you've already reviewed the plan, to keep charging them for another review of the same plan, that doesn't seem fair to me. So I'm in complete support of this. I'd be interested if after a year of this, you could come back and kind of do a report on it.
Yes.
That would be, I think, mm-hmm. helpful.
And on that note, we are implementing Springbrook, the building permit module, at the end of the month. So we'll be able to have these push-button yeah. reports to show any, you know, how many basics were done.
Yeah.
And give us the dollar figure on maybe we need to raise a fee here or there or go from a 200 to a 300. But
and if we could have any indication if it was a factor in them building that we now have basic, if we could maybe somehow ask that question, I think that's good information to mm-hmm. have. So mm-hmm. thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We do provide the opportunity for feedback from different applicants, and maybe this will be something that we can add to the questionnaire to say, did this have any impact on your decision to build here in Monroe or not? Or maybe you've got a question in there.
Put that as a line item on the card.
Line item, yeah.
Well, the reason I was saying that is because if we do see a dip in revenue, but we see the people that it really is attracting people, and we know for sure that it's an attractive, then it could, you know, the dip in revenue could be, hey, this is a short-term dip. It really is increasing, you know, people coming here. We know that for a fact because we have the data. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, it sounds as though that I saw, or it looked, appeared as though I saw a lot of heads up and down,
more individuals
move forward. And so, blessings to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Down. I'd like to add, just say my door is always open. You know, I'd love to meet with you individually and go over any building items or whatever.
I'm just going to go off of what Councilmember Williams said. It's just an example of bringing some innovative thinking to the city of Monroe. Since Rick's been here, this isn't the only idea that he's had, and one of the more visible ones, but certainly has played a large part in making our planning department and the whole building department what it is today, and that is one of the leaders in Snohomish County in way of customer service. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Drawn, want to draw your attention this evening to the department reports, and Jake is not here. So I hope you, Jake is not here.
Except it's me.
What's that?
Are you doing public work?
Oh, that is you.
Yeah, that is me.
Any? yeah. I skipped over you to the wastewater. Anything in addition to what you had in the reports that you want to highlight? I hope that council took note of the number of projects that were completed or near completion. It was a big year and I think very successful year. Thank you. So.
Just in case you hear the main old OMUS2 project, the state forgot to write down that we actually had a project there, so they weren't giving us any money because it wasn't an official project with them, even though they approved the plans and allowed us to go construct it, but they forgot to write it down somewhere. But our staff got that taken care of, and so we're going to get a big check from them very soon to pay for the money that we've given the contractor. But it's always fun working with bureaucracies, you know. So.
I didn't realize how many projects we really had last year until I went through it. There was a bit.
And Joy, just another thing, we also went, Jim Gardner, one of our senior engineers, went to the Community Development Block Grant Technical Advisory Committee today to get our project that you authorized for the sidewalks along Elizabeth Street. So we'll be hearing soon what they think about that.
So with that said, well, I'd like to give everybody that's here an opportunity, if anything, anything you'd like to share, starting with Mr. Sachs.
It's not on your agenda for next week, but next week we will be having a presentation on EB5 Regional Center Foreign Investment Opportunities for the City of Monroe. This will be your first look at a proposal to create a regional center that basically encompasses the entire urban growth area of Monroe to attract foreign investment to construct or to facilitate capital investment for businesses in our community. So next week we'll be having this presentation. A gentleman by the name of Jesse Tam, been involved in banking in the state of Washington for 35 years. He came to the United States via Hong Kong at the age 17. He told his mother he was going camping in Idaho, and did, and never went back. So Boise State grad, has established three banks in the state of Washington, brings a very unique perspective as an immigrant and a U.S. citizen and a financier to our little community of Monroe. And the mayor and I have met with him three times now. Several council members have met with him when we met the foreign contingent of Chinese investors at First Air. And that will be about an hour and a half long presentation next week. Question and answer opportunity, so we will all have plenty of time to walk through and try to get comfortable with this. That's a federal program administered through U.S. Citizenship
and Immigration Services.
Immigration Services, USCIS, which is a division of Homeland Security. So I look forward to that presentation next week. It'll really put some parameters around economic development in Monroe and give us a good introduction to what other communities around the country are doing to attract capital that has left our country over the years and bring some of that capital back to create jobs. So look forward to that.
And as I see it, and or as I've shared, it is a potential third leg to the stool that we already began working on, and that one is the internal processes and changes. The other is the IPZ program that we're pursuing, and now potentially the EB5, which we'll be bringing to the City Council. But just part of the strategy to help promote growth in business. Business growth here. We are way behind in the number of jobs that the Growth Management Act or Management Board has defined or outlined for Monroe. This would be a way to help meet those goals. So, thank you. Mr. Popelka, anything?
Let me a couple quick things. We expect the next core and the province will become coming out of the ground very soon, and Natural Factors is in their third phase of improvements in the building, so things are moving along quite well.
Great. Mike, good to see you. It's Farrell, how are you?
Happy New Year.
And to you.
So, I believe it was yesterday, Councilmember Camp and I, we met with Dream, and we're supporting their effort to bring the farmers market back to Monroe downtown, bringing it really close to the downtown, so we hear loud and clear. And so anyway, that's some good news, and excited to work to bring it back. So.
Sweet. Diane, anything?
Nothing to report right now.
All right. Chief, anything further? Mr. Albert? Mr. Ron, anything?
I hope everyone had a good break. A lot of time with your families and loved ones, and have a good time off. So.
Thank you. Welcome back. Yeah. City Administrator Brown.
Thank you, Mayor. I definitely want to put Director Feilberg back on the spot and have him discuss the sewer project that went on at the Next Core project. The public works staff did a great job of installing that sewer, and it was quite the feat. So if you can outline that, I think that'd be good.
So long ago. As part of the short plat that we did to cut off that piece of property for the Next Core building to be constructed, we needed to install sewer to all of the pieces of property that we created out there. And there was an existing section of sewer main that was installed basically at the south edge of Lowe's parking lot when Lowe's did their improvements. And at that time, the idea was whoever was building the rest of the property would extend the sewers. It happened, so we ended up having to do it ourselves. As the developer doing the short plat, we had to put that sewer in. So our public works operations and maintenance division crew, actually two crews, so everyone got a chance to work on this, installed that sewer main. If you've been by Turning Place, you notice they had to dig up the street to where the stub was. It was up to 22 feet deep in places, ran into groundwater, lots and lots and lots of groundwater, so they had to put in dewatering well points and things like that. So it actually gave the crews something different than what they usually do, and gave them some good experience in doing some difficult construction. And it was wet and cold, and I think it snowed while they were doing it too. So it wasn't your usual fun summer project of putting in an easy sewer line. So they got some good experience out of it, and it turned out really well. And so it's not quite done yet, because as the council's directed, we were supposed to be marketing the existing stormwater ponds at the southeast corner of the area. So the last part is to do that one by directional boring, as we did the water main that we extended underneath US-2. So we're in the midst of writing plans and specifications for doing the directional boring contract. So that'll be coming up soon, too. Did I say everything? Okay.
Thank you. The other thing I'd like to bring council up to speed on is both Diane and I had some discussions with the state auditors while they were here, Brian specifically, and asked the question of why do we have to do an annual audit versus a every other year audit. Some cities go through that process. It costs the community money to have the audit done every year, so we posed the question, and last week Brian called me back and said that because we are a low-risk city, he's recommending that we go every other year for our audits. So at any rate, that's accolades to our staff for the job that we do here for accounting purposes. And you know that goes into projects, project management, that whole thing. So at any rate, that's a substantial cost savings for this year. And by going biannual, the amount we have to budget for the audit will be a little greater, but the overall savings obviously will be better. So at any rate, I think that's a great thing, and I wanted to make sure the council knew that, that we are a low-risk city, so that we'll probably mention when the auditors come and do their closing report. So
I can't remember what date that was. Is that the 22nd?
Yeah.
This isn't Sunday.
If I could just chime in there, the state auditor's office, their rule of thumb is that if you have revenues of over $10 million, you are not eligible for the every other year. And our revenues are over $10 million, but because we're considered low risk now, they are willing to do it.
And that's just a testament, as the city administrator Ralph said, to Diane and her staff, and to staff overall, how they manage each department, the budgets and reporting and so forth. I mean, quite an accolade from our state auditors or state auditor department. Congratulations, really, what a feat. So thank you very much. Any further? No, let's get her done.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for January 15th, 2013. Under announcements and presentations, we have the police awards. And then we will be scheduling the EB5 presentation. Under public hearings, we have an interim ordinance, chapter 18.70, marijuana-related issues. We've got the consent agenda. New business, we have 2013 goals. The police department will be speaking, as well as the Parks and Recreation Department. Number two, approval of letter of intent expanding the City of Monroe water service area to encompass Sky Meadow Water Association boundaries. That's something we've been working on for many years. Exciting stuff. Under final action, the tire freeze and approve filling desktop support technician position. That is currently a position that we contract out with Denali. We've been with Denali for several years now. Number two, consideration of hearing examiner's recommendation for Cable Park Shoreline conditional use permit. Number three, appoint city representatives to various boards, committees, and forums. And the draft agenda for January 22nd, 2013. And we also added number four in final action, municipal court.
With regards to items, new business items, one and B, later, the latter part of 2012, during our leadership meetings, we had some discussion with each, or I had, or we had discussions with each department specific to goals, both short-term and long-term, laying some foundations in some instances, for some long-term needs or desires or some things specific for 2013 that departments would like to see implemented and will be seeking City Council support. With that, I've asked both the Police Chief and Parks Director to provide that information to you. But I'm going to turn to them now, given the number of items that we have on the agenda for next week. Would either of you be opposed to postponing that until the 22nd? Is there any particular need from either of you to present next week?
I can postpone.
That's fine with me.
Okay. All right. Because originally, I think, as part of your presentation, we were going to talk about the court. Since we've already talked about that, we are going to have that as part of the action item next week anyways. We can talk about the rest of the items that we'll have for you. Okay, so we'll move those items to the 22nd and shorten our meeting just a hair next week. So, anything else? Council, anything from you this week? All right, that's it. This meeting is adjourned.